Welcome to The Bookkeeper's Voice, an informative and entertaining podcast for bookkeepers who love small business. Each week, Amy Hook explores new ideas and shares real-life stories, along with inspiring guests from both inside and outside the bookkeeping industry. Every episode will leave you with a fresh perspective, along with industry-specific tips and insights to help your business and your clients' businesses thrive.
Good morning. Happy Friday, everyone. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your day. My name is Angie and I am here with Maya. We are both Hello. From the Savvy team. Hi. And we're actually joined by a very special guest. I am very excited to be able to welcome Melissa Clarence from Inbooks. How are you?
I'm good. Hi. Thanks for having me.
We're so excited to have you on. When we started doing this series, you were also one of our number one picks to have a chat with. Maya and I were both discussing about all the different things we could possibly talk with you about, because you've been doing just fantastic things with your business over this last year. And I think it'll be great to kind of celebrate it and chat about it with the whole bookkeeping community. So thank you.
Yes, because I don't celebrate it enough. I always think the worst.
Yes, you do. You're actually very good at that.
That's something that you can be good at.
I would definitely say she's good at it. You're one of the people I love every time we do co-working and stuff. You kind of have a moment. I can see it. You're staring at everyone going, I don't know what I'm doing. And then, but as you start talking about it, you 100% know what you're doing.
Yeah. Amazing. I suffer severely from imposter syndrome, and it's just something that I just can't seem to shake.
It's hard. It takes a lot of self-work to do that. I still continually do it. I think it's one of those things that any business owner or entrepreneur, it's a never ending journey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So as I mentioned to everyone, you are the director of Inbooks and you are a member of also the Institute of Certified Bookkeepers. So I see mm-hmm. for all of us bookkeepers who actually know what that means, which I'm sure everyone does listening to this podcast. You're also a BAS agent and a Xero certified consultant as well, which is super handy since I'm just obsessed with Xero.
I just recently became a gold partner too. So that was a big goal tick for me.
Oh, wow. That's so exciting.
Yeah. It was a bit of a Debbie Downer because it was during COVID. So you don't get as much fluff from your partner manager because they're not allowed to sort of take you out for lunch or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, for a small business to get gold, it's really difficult because you obviously have to have lots of files attached to you. Whereas an accounting firm, it's kind of like you almost start off as a gold partner.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. Congratulations. When exactly did that happen?
I think it was about August, September. Oh, yeah.
That's so exciting. I know how excited Amy was when she got to silver. So I can't imagine gold.
gold's fun. I get this little trophy that came in the mail and I got 10 key rings.
Oh wow. So
I don't know what I'm supposed to do with the other nine. Like one key ring is great, but I'm like, am I supposed to give these out to people or
it's a very strange gift. Yeah. Not like you give it to your clients.
No, that's all right. So anyway, but it's an achievement to slowly build to that level of having that many clients on Xero, I think.
I think it's really impressive. And just like what we wanted to go through today is really just sitting down and realizing all the great things that you've done over these, we've only been working with you since January, but we've been chatting now for a year. I think the first call I made you was almost exactly a year ago, which is
I think so.
So funny. And you're in a completely different spot now and it's impressive.
Thank you.
What I wanted to share with the listeners today is going through and as most people would have noticed, you're actually a client of the Savvy Bookkeepers. So I want to go through your actual bookkeeping journey that you've had up until now, and how and why you did decide to go from solopreneur to a business owner and director, and how you kind of juggle all of that. Because fun fact about you is that your husband is also a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, you know, little ones, and, you know, having juggling all of that all at once can be very difficult.
Yeah.
you know, and I think a lot of our listeners would love to know what you guys do, because from the outside, it seems you guys do it really well.
Well, maybe we're just like good actors.
I think, well, you know, you're both super supportive of each other's business, and you're super supportive of each other. And I think that creates a really fantastic life balance, not just like work-life balance, but a life balance,
yeah.
Which I think would just be fantastic to have a chat with. So before we go any further, I thought we could kind of have a little rundown of how you became a bookkeeper and just kind of chatting about your journey.
The journey thus far. So basically, and I'm going to show my age here, I started as a bookkeeper in the year 2000, which was the onset of GST. So it was a pretty good time to decide to open a business when the biggest change in taxation law was about to occur. And I did it with, and I was married in 2000. I was a young bride to my first husband, and I went into bookkeeping because I always wanted to have my family first.
Yeah.
So I went into a career that, like, I'd worked in an accounting firm since I'd left high school. Mm-hmm. Firstly, like in admin roles, and then the firm that I worked for, it was just a small two-partner firm. And he really just taught me the ground rules of accounting, you know, all the processing and all of that kind of stuff. And back then, the way that small businesses operated was that they did something weird during the year, and then they handed a box to their accountant at the end of the year. So how they ran their businesses, I don't know, because this box would just arrive in the accounting firm and be like, right, it's time to do that business's account. And then that would be the only time in the year that they knew that they were doing well. And usually that was 9 months later anyway.
So, it's crazy to think about now. Like, if I go a week without checking my business bank account, I have no idea what's going on.
Well, I think that's the thing. I think they ran their businesses from the balance of their bank account as opposed to actually knowing what their business was doing. I mean, I'm talking clients that gave us handwritten ledger books. You know, that was my beginning in accounting, which I have to say, in the world of electronics now, has given me a really good base, because I had to learn how to do T ledgers by hand. So 2000, I decided that I didn't want to travel into the city every day and work 9 to 5. So I started a bookkeeping business, and I basically just got myself a job. I was the slave to the client, and it didn't bother me. I was happy with that. My husband was the main breadwinner, and he had a really good salary. So really my business was just a bit of a hobby. And then in 2002, I had my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then my business sort of, luckily I had a friend of mine who was just starting out as a bookkeeper. So she took over my clients for that 9 months.
That's great.
And then I slowly sort of came back into it, you know, making sure that my daughter Emily was probably the main priority as opposed to the client work. And that just went along for a really long time. And then I got divorced when Emily was 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to flip the business like overnight. It was no longer a hobby that I could just dabble in. It you know, basically became my source of income. And at the time I was working for quite a few barristers in the city on a floor of barristers. So I just hit up all the barristers on that floor. I really need work. They've known me for a really long time. And so I quickly managed to build up my client list, but I was still just me working as a bookkeeper. So basically still running a job.
Mm-hmm.
And then that continued on for a number of years. And then I met my husband, we got married, and then we crazily decided to have more kids because it seemed like a good idea at the time. So when Emily was 12, so she was just finishing year six going into high school, I had a newborn baby. Fun. And I had this idea in my brain that because Emily was such an easy baby, I used to just take her around in the capsule to the clients. You know, she'd just sit on the floor and I'd rock the thing or have her in the pram and I'd be doing my work and she'd just be there happy. Well, then I had my son Samson, and that was the complete opposite of what he wanted to do in life. So I nearly had a nervous breakdown because I kept on saying to all my clients, it'll be fine. I've done this before. It'll be fine. I'm going to have the baby in December. We'll have the Christmas break and I'll come back and everything will just be like normal. And it was hell. Not. Absolutely hell. And so really the journey from solopreneur to business owner began just out of a sheer necessity to be able to continue the bookkeeping business with a newborn baby that didn't like sleeping and didn't like to sit still or on the floor and just had to be completely looked after the whole time. And so the first thing that I did was I tried to find an employee because I was working until midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was just hating my life. And Sean at that time was running his gym.
Yeah.
So he was gone in the mornings and the evenings, but, you know, around a little bit during the day. But he was a first-time dad, so he thought he was going to break his baby. So he was, like, really a nervous dad. So he wasn't even any help during the day because, you know, Samson would just be screaming unless I was holding him. So am I creating a picture for you here?
It's a great picture. I love it.
About what I went through in those early years with Samson. And so I just couldn't go and see clients anymore. It just became impossible. You know, Samson would scream the whole time that I was gone. He wouldn't take the bottle. I'd be at the client, like, you know, burning through the work as quickly as I could possibly do it so that I could get back home. And it just wasn't working for anybody. So I employed a person. I had zero experience in HR or employing a person. And a girlfriend of mine said, oh, I know somebody that knows something about counts. I'm like, they're hired. Let them in. She knew nothing about accounts. And anyway, we fumbled along for about a year, and then it just became an untenable relationship because, you know, the business was changing. I discovered Xero and I wanted to go fully cloud-based and, you know, and I was just leaving her behind. So she left the business, and then I was pregnant again with my little daughter, Poppy. And I decided that really before this next baby was due, I really needed to get the whole employee thing working really well. So I then went out to rehire again. I think this time I actually put an ad up somewhere. And I hired this lady and she came with me to all my client visits and I gave her an exceptional amount of detailed notes about how I did everything. And I had Poppy and that was all great. And I was thinking, oh, finally I've got a business that I don't actually have to work in and I can have some maternity leave. And then she quit on me 3 weeks into maternity leave.
Oh no.
On like a Saturday afternoon. And I was like, oh my God. And I had to go and see a client first thing Monday morning and she was breastfed and had never taken a bottle. And I was like, oh my God. So the upshot of those two stories is I'm a really terrible person at employing people. I don't know what I'm doing. And so anyway, after that, I found another lady who ended up being really fantastic. And she worked with me for a couple of years after that. But I had to do a lot of work when Poppy was a baby, which I didn't want to. I knew she was my last baby and I just wanted to be able to enjoy her. Right. And it ended up that I had to do more work. So Poppy's now three. So that was 3 years ago. I have two employees now that both work part-time. We are, thanks to COVID, completely cloud now.
Yes.
There's one man that I still go to visit his office because I've been doing his bookkeeping for 18 years. And it's actually more of a coffee date than actually going over there to do work because he's basically retired. And I, despite all of the things that I say to myself all the time, I think I've finally got the business that I want. You know, I work from home. I can go to the gym in the mornings, or I can have lunch with my girlfriends every now and then. And I've got systems in place, and all of this, the culmination of where I'm at in my business has really been the last 2 years of working with Amy, and probably more intensely the last 12 months. And having those co-working sessions, because I do think every time I'm on those co-working sessions, I'm like the, you know, bottom of the pack.
It's so funny to watch, to be honest, as outsiders. Like, I think Maya, you can say this too, like, we can actually see it in your face that you're like, I have no idea what I am doing. Then by the end of it, you're like, yeah, all right, I'll do this and I'll do this and I'll do this.
That's pretty much exactly what it's like.
It's impressive to watch, and it's the amount of work that you have done has just made InBooks a completely different beast, basically, from what it was a year ago. And that's kind of what I also wanted to chat to you about today, is kind of going in to discuss what makes InBooks a bit different from other bookkeeping businesses. You know, how you are really driven by the big picture for your clients, which I think is really great. And, you know, having that, since going to zero, having that mindset that tech is really important to what you do, because I know you and Maya have done amazing things with your processes. So I thought we could kind of chat to you about that as well, because it's helped, I think, really made a big difference in allowing you to go and have those lunches and, you know, having that kind of more of a, you don't have to be at work 24 hours a day.
Feeling. I think one of the reasons that I'm so driven in process and technology is because I'm a complete control freak. If I don't know that people are doing the, like my two employees are doing the things the way that I want them to be done, then I feel completely out of control. And I would sit here and work until 10 o'clock at night, because I'd be like, I'd need to check everything to make sure it was all being done. And definitely in this last 12 month journey, there's been moments where I've just felt completely unhinged, that, you know, especially when you get that email from a client that's unhappy, and they've picked up a mistake or something, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have the right systems. If we all just followed the same thing, then, you know, these emails wouldn't happen, which is totally untrue. You're still going to get those awful emails from clients. But the thing is that if the system is there to the standard that I want it to be, then I can make that phone call to that client with that knowledge in my mind, and I can feel more self-assured during that conversation, because I still feel like, and other bookkeepers will probably agree with me, that there is this whole doctor nurses thing going on in the world between accounting and bookkeeping, which has spilled over into the client world. The client also thinks that same thing. Oh, my accountant, you know, when they tell me that they're going to do my JobKeeper, I'm happy to pay them $500 to do it. But if my bookkeeper says, oh, it's $500 to do my JobKeeper application, oh, what do you mean? Like, surely it's not that much work. You know, like, it's this huge differential. And the thing is that if I have those systems in place and I know that we're following procedures, for me to have that conversation with the client when they're unhappy, it's like, we've done everything that we need to do. Like, I get that you're unhappy and you know, this part of the business isn't working for you, but I can't do everything for you. If I didn't have that, I'd be like, I'm so sorry. Let me like give you all your fees back for the last month, and I'll work, you know, for 12 hours for free. And you know,
yeah, I could see that.
So it's definitely helped a little bit in that imposter syndrome. Now, in terms of my tech, I have an extravagant tech stack, because over the weekend, we shipped the little kids off to my in-laws, and my husband and I worked on my business all weekend. So it was pretty amazing. I'd never done that before.
Just one thing. I don't suggest everyone to do that all the time. But like you just said, you had never done it on the before, and it was done specifically to basically implement a next chapter in the business. So try not to work on the weekend, guys. Let yourself have a break. Just
however, we shipped the little kids off and we went out for dinner on Saturday night and we got to sleep in on Sunday. So it wasn't all work.
Yeah, see, that's lovely as well. So you still were able to have that little bit of break. And you're right. Like you got a heap done with all of your tech and stuff on the weekend.
Yeah. So I actually wrote a business manual, which really solidified in my mind the business that I have envisaged in my head and haven't really been able to quantify. So in that business manual is a page called the tech stack. And as I was going through all of the processes that the new employee that I'm looking for at the moment is going to have to follow, I was like, this uses three pieces of software. Oh yes, this process uses two. So I have quite a big lot of software that's running the business, but it's all working and it's all integrating. I mean, I was talking to Maya about this the other day. If Carbon and XPM could get married, then I would have the perfect solution. to give you a rundown, I use, obviously I'm a Xero centered bookkeeper. So Xero is at the middle of the whole thing.
Yes.
Onboarding a client is through Practice Ignition, mm-hmm. which then fires off my job over to XPM. XPM then looks after the client manual and the timesheeting mm-hmm. and also all of the tax lodgement program. In terms of VAS and IAS. And then Carbon is the workflow implementer and email triage system. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we keep on top of what work is getting done by who. And then what have I got left? XPM, Practice Ignition, Xero. I use Xero Ask when we're requesting documents from clients. And the communication between the team, we use Zoom and now Zoom Phone.
Yes.
So pretty much that's all of the software that we use. Oh, an active campaign for...
I was going to say, I feel like you're missing...
Yeah, one. I was like, there's a CRM missing in there somewhere. Yes. So active campaign. I also have ClickFunnels somewhere along the way, but I don't do anything with ClickFunnels. And then Facebook, Instagram, website.
Yes.
And I tried to use WordPress on the weekend and I think I pulled some of my hair out.
Oh no. Some things are amazing in WordPress and other things, it's just like, it's just easier to get Maya to do it.
Yeah. Look, I thought it would be easy just to copy a page and then use that to, and then I looked back at my website and the whole thing had turned sideways and I was like, that doesn't look right. Undo, undo, undo.
It's a great button, undo.
Yeah.
The things with WordPress are really easy and some are just awful,
no sense
user experience.
Why? Yeah, it makes no sense why they haven't improved the user interface for certain.
Whereas with
Squarespace
is super user friendly.
Yeah, it is. But the quality is a bit different as well.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what like theme or builder you're using in your WordPress, but it really makes a huge difference. Like some of them are just terrible and some of them are amazing.
Yeah. Well, I was using something called Elementor and I felt like it was Dementor from Harry Potter.
Yeah, I have heard some horror stories about that one.
Yeah,
I haven't used it personally, but I've seen it being used, and it is different. One of the more popular ones.
It is, but there's certain things with it, that just don't quite make sense.
It's a bit strange. I don't know why they don't make it more intuitive.
So basically, that's my tech stack, and it should allow the business to run if I was in Brazil, which we can't fly to at the moment. But, I think now that I've spent that weekend, I've created that business manual, it really shows a vision of what the business is, which is, we're really centered on technology to help our clients, which makes us a little bit different from other bookkeepers. Mm. There's a lot of manual process in bookkeeping, even though everything is computerized now. And I've tried to get rid of the manual. I've tried to automate as much as possible because otherwise, I think at the moment I've got 70 or 75 clients. I can't retain all of that information in my head. I can't retain, you know, who sent me what bank statements and, you know, whose superannuation payments are we looking after in terms of, you know, doing the zero super payment as opposed to themselves. So lists and automation and software is really the key.
That's why we love working with you. It's one of those things. We love chatting to you about any of this kind of stuff because we know you get it and you love it too.
I think I may have confused Maya last week when I showed her my tech stack and I was like, this is what I do here. And then I do this one and I go here and I do that. And she's like, hang on a second, just bring it back.
That
was a great session, actually. I really
enjoyed
that.
Use Zapier as well to make sure everything does a continual workflow, don't you?
I do use that for the glue that sometimes needs to happen. But the more that the programs talk to each other, so at the moment I think I'm booked in for a webinar coming up, which is Practice Ignition integrating into Carbon. But at the moment, Practice Ignition pushes my jobs over to XPM, but then my admin lady has to then go into Carbon and create the work. But I think from what I'm going to discover is that Practice Ignition can also generate the work as long as the template is sitting in Carbon.
That's great.
So, yeah, so that will get rid of that manual process.
That's awesome. Yeah. With all the processes that you have, because I know you're really client-centered, how does that help you and your team to have a higher quality of client service?
I think we never miss anything and we're usually reminding the client before they ask us. Mm. So definitely for things like, you know, compliance things, they'll get an email from us at the beginning of the month, depending on what's happening, requesting information or letting them know that something's coming up. Mm. And for clients that have only ever dealt with their accounting firm, who very, very few accounting firms contact their clients at all, unless it's March or April of the following year and they've got a tax deadline.
Yeah.
So I think providing that constant contact with the client, even though it's not me, it's like an email or it's a, you know, a follow-up.
They don't need to
know that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But they feel like their business is in our minds all the time. And especially with like the JobKeeper reporting, that was all, I created that as a process in Xero ask. So that all went out seamlessly. And I just think that it makes the client feel at ease, that they don't have to worry about, have they forgotten something? When's the next BAS due? And then that does free all of that time up for me to then ring them and actually just have a conversation with them, because I don't have to go through all of the checklist of, are you up to date with this and that and everything else? Because that stuff is all done. And then my conversation with them is just, how's your business going? Like, how are you going as a person? Because like I've discovered, and you touched on a little bit earlier, with three kids and a husband that runs a business that is not normal hours. So he's gone at 4:30 in the morning, comes home at 7 a.m. and then he leaves again at 4 p.m. until 9.
Yeah.
And then I'm working in the middle of the day, we're ships in the night. A lot of small business people don't enjoy their life. They're just in their business. And whatever they thought their business was when they first got involved in it, it morphed into something else. And then they just end up having a job that they dislike, but then now they're running a business. So oftentimes my questions to my clients aren't really bookkeeping related. It's like, how are you going? I usually remember their kids' names. And, you know, the last time we've had a conversation, they'll tell me something that I was like, oh, you said you had that holiday. How is it going? All of that makes the client feel super loved.
Yeah, it's really important. It's something that we do at Savvy, and we do it on purpose to, just check in. It's very rare. I find a lot of people, very few people have friends that are also business owners. Mm. So it can be very lonely and you can't really talk to anyone about it because they just
Get
it.
Well, sometimes you don't want to talk to your friends about your business, especially if it isn't going great because it's embarrassing.
True.
And then there's the judgment that you don't want people to judge you, and you can't talk to your employees because you're running the show. Like, you know, there's some things that I will talk to my employees about, but the stuff that I have to make decisions on, it's all me. And it is, it's sometimes really lonely, which is why this has been super fantastic, because in those co-working sessions, we're all here at the, you know, at a similar point. We're all bookkeepers, we're all working pretty much on our own. And it's nice to be able to talk to somebody else about the problems that we're having.
Yeah, it just really helps. And I think, you know, the decision you made when you first started to work with Xero and going remote, it changes that interaction that you have as well. So I thought, because I know a lot of bookkeepers, because of COVID, they're ramping up their remote services as well. So I was thinking how we could maybe have a bit of a discussion on how your remote work has affected your client service and how your systems have kind of helped you with that. Because you are very good at, you know, just picking up the phone, giving them a call. But when you were going from physically going in to everyone every week and then slowly putting them on the remote, how did that affect your client service and your clients' reactions?
Yeah, it was tricky. It was a really difficult part of the growth journey, because I have these clients that I've done work for so many years now. I mean, a lot of them, most of my clients I've worked for more than 10 years. So, and that was that whole thing. Whereas, you know, I go to this client every second Monday, I'd go to that client from Tuesday from 2 to 4. And then I'd have this whole sort of fortnightly timetable set up of travel. And it's really difficult to move a client from that to a different way of doing things, even though, and it can also come off as you're doing it because it suits you better and it's not necessarily best for the client. So it was a battle, and I always felt like I was not doing the right thing, that I was always forever having to sort of like explain myself as to why this was happening. Why are we moving from desktop Myob to Xero when I've used Myob for, you know, ever in a day? And, you know, and then you get an accountant thrown in the mix. Oh, I don't like Xero. I don't understand it. Why are we changing from what we've always done? So there was a lot of like pushback on so many different sides. But for me, it always just came back to my family and the fact that I always wanted to have a business where I just didn't travel every day. Like, I love going into the city and I love going and having a client meeting and then going and have lunch and, you know, making a bit of a day of it. But I don't want to be a slave to that. I don't want to have to go into the city every Friday or get, you know, I live in Northwest Sydney. So for me to get into the city and the traffic is terrible, it could be an hour and a half each way.
Yeah.
And that's 3 hours of your day of stress, of driving for nothing. You know, I could have done all of that work sitting at my desk, but, and then, so I did struggle with it. It was hard. It was hard letting the client know that even though the change did look like it was all for me, it was ultimately better for their accounts as well, because, you know, especially with Xero being that ledger that you can have everyone have access to, the accountant
in anywhere.
That's right. The accountant can see it. As soon as we pick up the phone and say, hey, we're ready to get the tax return done, they can log into the file. And I know that that's the same with Myob. I just find that Xero for me is way more user-friendly. Where was I just going somewhere with that? Totally lost my train of thought. Anyway, yes. So then COVID hit. And COVID was the final straw for everybody, because I could no longer come and see people. It just got rid of the whole rest of the argument. And now everybody knows that remote working is doable. I think this is, you know, if you haven't turned into a remote worker, if this is your first foray into remote bookkeeping now, there is no going back. You just push forward. You never go back and see that client. Everything should be able to be done in your own office or offsite somewhere, because there's no excuses really. I mean, there's probably some systems that people will say, I have to go to the client for that. But then I'd look at them and go, but why? Like, you know, is it because you're going to look at a piece of paper? Well, then why can't that be scanned? If it's on a piece of paper, you know, payroll, you know, maybe you have to go and look at people's timesheets, or then get them onto a timesheet app. You know, there's got to be a solution to all of the things that you're traveling for. And you know, I'm not going to say it's an easy journey to change your legacy clients from a face-to-face client to a remote client, but you can do it.
You can do it with Zoom. And it's actually, I love doing mentoring through Zoom because I can share my screen. My client can share her screen or his screen. And then like we did the other day, Maya and I, we remotely accessed a client's screen. So it was her screen, but Maya was controlling it to fix something.
Yeah.
And technology is amazing.
Technology is amazing. And it's something that the service that you can provide is so much higher now that we have all these applications.
Yeah. And I think that I probably do talk to my clients more because it's not the monthly or quarterly visit in their office. Mm. And yeah, that whole taking remote control of someone's Zoom screen. I mean, the first thing is you've just got to teach them how to click the share button. If you can teach them how to click the share button and the top left screen, not the screen that they're on, but the top left one, then you're away. Because I have a client that rings me every Tuesday and he's always got a problem on a Tuesday. And I'm like, don't even call me on my mobile. Let me send you a Zoom link. I just need to see the screen.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I go in and do it and he goes, I don't even know what you've done. And I'm like, I don't even want to teach you because it would take too long. So.
Yeah, no.
Definitely technology. I think 2020 has shown the world that remote working is possible, and especially in our industry.
Definitely, especially with travel time itself. The amount of time that you would spend traveling to see one client, see another client, come back to your office, that's so much more time that you could be spending working on your business, working on your clients' mm-hmm. needs, contacting them from home and actually giving them a bit more instead of just sitting in your car.
Yeah. And I find that even now when I do go out and visit clients for specific reasons, you know, like a meeting that we really need to sort of have a few people in a room, whatever. By the time I get back to the office after doing that drive and back, I come back and I'm like, I can't.
You're exhausted.
I have to switch off because I can't sit back down at my desk again and just like, you know, as if I just finished the Zoom call and I'm on to the next email. It's a totally different feeling.
Definitely is. Mm-hmm. Definitely is. I know. I definitely get that. I don't even like to do face-to-face meetings anymore with business development things. It's just so much easier just to go, okay, that's done now. There's the follow-up email gone out and now I'm on to the next thing instead of the traveling. Because then, yeah, you're done for the day. You don't want to do anymore.
Mm.
It's definitely changing bookkeeping as an industry, which is great. And what I kind of wanted to go through from here is how, you know, you obviously went from face-to-face, from remote to remote for your family and, you know, necessity at that time. But what caused you to really go from that solopreneur to the business owner? What made you do that big step? Because it's also like a big step for your business, but it's a big step for you as well.
Yeah.
So how did that process go for you?
So I cried one night when I was exhausted with a newborn baby and my husband came home from work at like 9:30 p.m. and I just said, that's it. I'm selling the business. I can't do it anymore. I think I did a course and the lady called it the ice cream on the floor moment, you know, where you've just come to the absolute end of what you can do. And I just felt like, I mean, I don't like ice cream, but I felt like that was a moment where I should have been sitting on the floor eating a bucket of ice cream. it was necessity for me because I either had to sell the business at that point if I couldn't change, because I just couldn't service people. The clients were unhappy, I was unhappy, and it was either that or change. Mm. And so I had to change, and it was just as simple as that. And the other difficult thing I think for bookkeepers that want to turn from a solopreneur into a business is that I know for me, I've worked on my own since 2000. I haven't gone through a firm and I don't know the structure of how a firm operates. I've never had like a staff meeting where I've had an appraisal, like all of those things that go along with running a business, I'd never experienced as an employee because I'd always worked on my own. So it's been a huge learning journey, which is why I always feel like I never know what I'm doing, because I've never actually, like, I sometimes think...
You don't know what to compare it to.
That's exactly right. I think, what if I went and got a job with somebody else's bookkeeping firm and then learnt how they do it and then come back to my business and then go, oh, right, now it all makes total sense. So it was really a necessity for me to change it. And I did have always an idea in my mind that I wanted to run a successful business, but I didn't want to be doing the work all the time, because then you might as well just go and get a job. Yep. Which I have to say, on like probably every 1 to 2 months, I will say to my husband, I'm selling the business and I'm going to get a job.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's weird if you don't have those moments. Yeah,
yeah.
It's perfectly normal. I know every business owner I work with says that to me at least once or twice a year. And they say that to me, being like, I'm just going to throw in the towel. I can't do this anymore. I get it. I do the same thing for myself. But it's one of those things, because it means so much to you. So when it's not going, for us control freaks, exactly the way you want it to, it can be really overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just easier to be like, that's done now. I'm going to go do something else.
Yeah. I think the other problem that we have as bookkeepers is we're definitely a female-dominated industry. And we have that nurturing, sort of caring personality. And so we really get invested in our clients. Like, we really take our clients personally. So, you know, sometimes when you get those calls from people, instead of being able to sort of step back and see it for what it is, I get personally upset that somebody's upset with my level of work. Yeah. You know, it's almost like, you know, they've said something about my baby.
Yeah.
And that is a really difficult thing for me to get over. And that's usually the moment afterwards when I go, that's it, I'm selling the business. Because I think to myself, imagine if you had a job. Imagine if you had a job and you went to work and you got one of those calls from a client. You just go to the boss and say, hey, I just had this like really irate client on the phone. They're unhappy about this. And then it's somebody else's problem to go and deal with. And I go home and have a glass of wine and it's all lovely.
It's so true, actually. I completely get that, especially if it's someone that like you really are trying your hardest and it's just not working. Mm-hmm. And it can really break you. But one thing I know, because you know every business has their highs and lows, I think doing the throw in the towel is always a low, but it usually brings a high after that. It's usually when something breaks, you either do throw in the towel or you figure out how to fix it.
Yeah.
Which is really good. And it's something that you've been really good at this last year. And, you know, I know right now you're working on your, you know, hiring process and trying to be that employer that you always wanted to be, but not really sure how, because you've not seen it directly. And with all your hiring and everything, what would you do differently in hindsight?
I'd like to be one of those people that would be able to impart this sort of wisdom on the people listening. And I have actually thought about this, because I thought this would be a question that you asked me. You actually just have to make the mistakes.
Yeah.
There's just no way around it. You cannot, like, I did some business coaching a few years ago in the very first stages of me trying to change the business. And they kept on asking me all these questions about, you know, what do you do in this situation? How does this process work? And it was almost, I had no ability to answer the question because I hadn't been there. So I cannot give anybody advice, because they literally have to employ their first person and fail at it almost. Like, and then from that you go, oh, well, that person didn't fit and I hired them in the wrong instance because, and I won't do that again. And then the next person, you won't do the same mistake, but you might make a different mistake. Like, you just might really like them as a person, but they're really terrible at bookkeeping. And I just, unfortunately, you just have to go through it. You have to go through the process. I don't think there's a way that, unless you go out and use like a HR company and you use somebody else's knowledge of the do's and don'ts in employment, which is great, except if you don't have the same personality as that HR person, but you've got to work with your employee.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of stuff that people will go through between solopreneur and business owner that won't make sense to them when they read it on a piece of paper until they've actually done it. Like, how do you define the job role of the person that you hire directly after you? The job is almost, it doesn't even exist. It's like, you know,
when you've hired someone for it.
Well, yeah, like what hours are you going to employ them for? Well, I don't know, because at the moment I do all the work. So what, do I give them like 2 hours a week? Or, but what if that 2 hours takes them six? You know, because you're really fast, like all of that stuff is just,
and it never ends as well.
Yeah I just think it's growing pains that you have to go through to understand, and that's what I've gone through with the hiring process, is from that very first person that literally it was like anyone could have walked through the door to now I'm like, well, now I'm being way more selective. So this hiring process that I'm going through, you know, I had all of these applications, and it's almost flattery when you get an application for your job and you're like, oh, somebody's like applied for my job.
Yes.
And then, you know, when you go on a call with Amy and she's like, no, get rid of that person, get rid of that person, get rid of that person. I'm like, but they've got like all the green ticks. And she's like, no, they've described themselves in a way that you don't want them. They won't be a good employee. And it's, you know, it's been a real eye opener, because I had no idea how to hire somebody.
And hire, it's not just hiring someone, it's hiring someone that matches your business, you and your clients as well. Because that's something we always focus at with at Savvy. For if we ever add anyone to the Savvy team, we think about you guys, we think about the in person that is going to be directly impacted by these hires. And it's the same for bookkeepers. You want to make sure any new hire is going to be a positive addition for your clients.
Yeah. So I think the first person that worked for me, I was just grateful that they would actually work for me. And now my whole mindset is, well, I have a great job. Do you fit it? So I've completely flipped.
Absolutely.
On, you know, it's not, I'm not a charity here. Like, this is a business that I'm running, and they're going to have to do some really good work to get paid and to stay on the team. Whereas, you know, back in that very first hire, I was like, really? You'd really like to come and work for me? That's amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's amazing.
No, and that's, I think, a big growth between the solopreneur mindset to entrepreneur business owner mindset. I think that is a lot of personal valuation of yourself. Like, you're valuing yourself, you're valuing your business, and you're valuing your other employees that work for you, that they do this level of work. Anyone coming in should also be doing the same level of work, and it makes them so they can all be a real team, which is great.
Yeah.
Now, and talking about teams, I just want to finish off today's episode by kind of coming back again to why you created the business, and talking about your family and how you all kind of try and work together to make it work. And, you know, I know a lot of bookkeepers created their businesses the exact same reason you did. They wanted to be able to be at home, focusing on their family and also creating income. What do you have any suggestions or any tips on how to, you know, my partner is also an entrepreneur, so we both work. I know Maya is the same boat. Amy is the same boat. But, you know, what tips and tricks do you have that helps make it work for you guys? What do you guys do?
Well, back to my nature of control freak, it's all about scheduling.
I love it.
All about
too.
Knowing who's way. There and who's doing what. Look, don't get married to a gym owner is my first piece of advice.
Fair.
I mean, like, honestly, if he just had a normal business that was in business hours, we'd both be just working at the same time, and we'd both have time in the mornings and the afternoon for the kids. And I think the flow would just be a little bit easier than what it is. Because, I mean, I feel like at the end of the day, I take a lot of the weight of the family, because when Sean's out in the morning, I'm doing the breakfast routine and the lunch packing. And then he goes in the afternoon when my son's home from school. And so he's like a bundle of energy. And then I've got to do the dinner and the bedtime routine. So, you know, and then on the nights that Sean is here, because, you know, he's got a business partner and he's not working there all the time, then I want to go to the gym because I need to get out of the house. And
you need that me time.
So we have this real, like, this sort of schedule where we both know who's at home at what time. And we're usually the opposite. So if Sean's home, I'm out. If he's out, I'm home. I meal plan. That is another key to the functioning of this household is meal planning. So
you would need that.
Yes.
Yeah. It means that at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, when I walk out of this office and Samson's home from school and it's time to turn back into mum, I don't have to go to the fridge and go, oh my God, what am I cooking tonight? Yeah, it's just, it's already written there. The ingredients have already been purchased and all we have to do is like make it, or Sean will make it before he goes out so that I don't have to cook that night. So the tip is to have communication between you and your partner and to divvy up the jobs, because you can't do everything and you'll just burn out. And and just be really supportive of each other. I do a lot of work in Sean's business because, you know, I'm a bookkeeper and I'm business minded. He's doing a little bit of work in my business because he's really good with like Facebook ads, and he's actually really awesome at perspective. Like, he doesn't know anything about bookkeeping. So when I'm going all complex on the issue and trying to say to a small business owner why they should work for me and just basically speaking jumble, he's like, basically all they want to know is this: when do I need to get paid next? When's my BAS due? And how much money do I owe? And so he's really good at giving me that perspective back. And like this weekend that we did the business like stuff together, he was doing all the social media and just bringing a fresh set of ideas. Like, I'm a real analyst brain. Everything's data driven. I draw squares, I don't draw circles. And that's really hard. That's really hard to get your message back to a small business owner who doesn't think like that. And so that's really good having Sean there, because his world is fitness and, you know, appealing to that inner thing that the person wants, which, you know, if we can sort of, you know, drive that into the bookkeeping space, we should be able to really nail some new clients. So I think that's all I can say. It's hard work though. It's really, really hard work. And I think for those people that maybe their partners aren't supportive of your business, it's even harder for you. Because I feel like I'm alone, but then I do have my husband who's supportive, but I still feel alone. If you don't have a supportive partner, then you're just alone.
Yeah.
So that would be
a massive difference. I know I definitely couldn't do what I do if my partner wasn't supportive. And, you know, days that I don't leave my chair for like 12 hours, he'll bring me food and I do the same for him. And it's that yin and yang. You need to have that support.
Yeah.
To be 100%. Successful. No, I love it.
And then you need wine and whiskey.
Yes, that's actually, yes, that is also very important. Yes. Or we're even going to start brewing our own beer.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's going to be happening next. Yes. Because it's a necessity for us anyways. No, this has just been so fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us about all the amazing things you've done for MBooks. It's been just so fantastic to watch you from that one call that we had the beginning of last year, when you're like, I just need to do this now. I need to get this all sorted. And you're just such a fantastic example of how you've successfully implemented technology and your bookkeeping business while thinking of your clients.
Thank you.
You really are. And you do it really inside, it's not seamlessly. Like, you have a lot of stuff that you've done to make it seamless, but now that it's implemented, it's just a really well working machine.
Yeah. And it took a lot of sweat to get there. But I'm almost at that point where I can sort of see it as a whole ecosystem and go, wow, I'm really happy with that. Like, it's all just flowing and working really well. There's a couple of tweaks that I need to make. But just generally, I think, you know, and once you get there, and it depends on where you want to go with your business, my business, once it sort of irons out those wrinkles, is completely scalable to whatever level. You know, I don't know how big I want to make it, because, you know, it impacts on your family life the bigger that your business becomes. But, you know, if somebody else wanted to take this business like massive, everything is set up to do that. You just have to expand now.
Yeah. And that's one thing that, you know, I don't think we talk about very often in this podcast, but the ability of, you know, let's say you get to the point where you're 65 and you want to retire, you can sell this business and all of this work that you have done. You're right. It makes your business very sellable. And then B, someone can just take this and just run with it to whatever level they want. And it's just a really great business model.
Yeah. It's the key to being able to sell your business is to remove your face from it, which is the solopreneur is all about the person. Mm-hmm. You know, if you tried to sell your solopreneur business, most of the clients would walk away from the business when you leave, because there's a personal relationship. Some of my clients have been with me for a long time would do that if I sold the business, but the new clients that have come on board post the me face, would continue on with this bookkeeping business because it's structured in a way that suits them to engage with us as a bookkeeper. So I've moved my face away from the forefront. Even like M Books is a derivative of my name. Originally, I used to be Melissa's Bookkeeping Services. So M Books is a derivative, but it's not my name. So anybody else could run this business and it doesn't have to be me.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. And if anyone wants to learn more about what Melissa has been doing and what M Books is all about, please feel free to go to our website, thesavvybookkeeper.com, because in the podcast notes, we're actually going to include all of the M Books social media links so that you can kind of get to know what you're doing. You've just joined the world of Instagram and everything, which is very exciting. I've been enjoying it. I liked you just as my personal business as well. I've been liking your first few posts, and you can kind of learn a bit more about what M Books is all about and what you're all about with having. You're the figurehead, but you're now in the chapter now that you're kind of where Amy is, where she wants to take herself out of the business, but still have the business, basically. Mm-hmm. So hope everyone's been able to learn a bit from you. I know, again, you're just a great example of how you can really combine everything that you do want and make it still a success. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Great to hear your story.
Yeah, there's something from it. Yeah, well, there's a couple things that we didn't know, so that was quite interesting to kind of learn.
And I think that your hesitancy to give advice about hiring people turned into really great advice.
It was great advice. It was perfect. That's exactly what I was looking for.
That's really great advice. Yeah, that you're not. For people to just not expect to get it right the first time they try something. It's a huge lesson that a lot of people
Everyone's human. You learn from mistakes. That's why, like, as a kid, you want, like, as a parent, you want your child to fall down and make mistakes once in a while, because then they know not to touch that hot thing again. They know that they need to put their foot out so they don't fall, or put their hands out. And, you know, that's human nature. Is that we learn from mistakes.
Yeah.
So it's a great, great takeaway. And yeah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
No worries. Awesome. Well, Maya, do you want to do the sign off?
Stay safe, stay sane, and stay savvy.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Bookkeeper's Voice. We'll be back next week, so subscribe to future episode notifications. Do you want to be more efficient? Get instant access to our free template of the month. Visit thesavvybookkeeper.com.au/freebie. Would you love to connect with other savvy bookkeepers to get support and ideas? Join the Savvy Bookkeeper Facebook group. Do you need help with pricing, marketing, web design, or business planning? Visit thesavvybookkeeper.com.au to see our services. Until next time, stay savvy.